This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Joel Blank, Patrick Creighton, Del Olale, as we get into the final hour of the program here on the Press Box. Astros in the middle of a day game, getaway game, a matinee, if you will, against the Rockies in the short two-game set. They're leading 2-1. Jake the Snake Myers with a knock, a stolen base, and then a Taylor Jones sacrifice fly has him in scoring position at third base with only one out. That insurance run as we head to the bottom, we're in the bottom of the sixth, is hyper important. Fromber has at least gotten you through six. Bad news, though, Martin Maldonado at the plate, Patrick. He's a defensive specialist.
Just make contact. Hit a fly ball to the outfield. Hit a ground ball to second. Put the ball in play to drive in the run.
Strikeout.
What? That was a strike?
He will strike out swinging. By the way, let's also talk about this for a quick second, just because if you've caught any of it recently, you know that the legend of Angel Hernandez lives in Little League Baseball. Oh, my God. I flipping channels the other night and watching some of the regionals. Texas, I think the team was from like near Waco, was playing. They're actually going to be in the Little League World Series. But some of these Little League kids, and they really, you're not supposed to talk back to an umpire at all.
In Little League, you cannot say boo to the ump.
All their strike zones are horrendous.
I know what player you're talking about. This ball was not only low and outside, but it's basically in the left-hand back.
It was unhittable.
It's in the batter's box for a left-hand hitter to a righty, and the ump calls it a strike, and the kid just has the look of, what? How? And you know they're not allowed to say anything.
No, I know, but you look back. Normally it's like you look back once. He looked back, and he just couldn't erase it from his memory. Like, he kept looking back like, are you really serious?
Well, I mean, you think about how important these games are.
Sure.
And the high pressure of the game on these kids are 12. And you can't get better umpiring than that. I mean, that was a damn embarrassment. There isn't a person alive other than the idiot behind the plate that thought that was a strike. That would have hit a left-handed batter.
It's a joke. It really is. But again, it's not like it's unusual in what we see from Cowboy Joe West and, of course, the biggest violator, Angel Hernandez, and the new guy that's screwed the Astros several times this year.
I'm saying you would think that...
Who am I looking at, the umpire that...
You would think that for the Little League World Series, they would try to get the best officials, not, hey, random Joe Blow. Because, you know, in Major League Baseball, you've got a union that protects you. In Little League, there's no union for umpires. There's organizations. Those organizations have no power. All they do is, hey, you belong to an organization, so whatever organization that you're part of gets you jobs with whatever leagues that your league is in. They just called him out. Yeah, they said he was out.
And they're not going to review it?
Let's see if we get a replay. But okay, this would be the end of the inning.
End of the sixth, if not, as Jake Myers was hosed at the plate, but it looks like they're going to hang around and look for a replay.
Oh, the ball beats him by a mile.
The ball absolutely beat him. The tag was on the butt while the hand was on the plate. It's going to be close.
Let's see where this tag is.
C.B. Buckner. Hand is in. That's who I was talking about, by the way. Hey, Pat, we got a radio show to do. You can watch that, too.
Oh, man. Hey, his hand is like right there. The umpire's leg. Here's a better view of it. I'd ask for a replay on that. That's really close.
They're going to review it. By the way, C.B. Buckner was who I was talking about. He's getting up to the Angel Hernandez level of
He's long been a terrible
horrible strike zone. Yeah, Dell is saying safe.
Dell says he's safe. I said that's going to be a really close play because even though the ball beats him, the tag is all the way down the body, and he is fully extended Superman slide, hands out. So you're talking about like 3.5-4 feet down.
You can't
the body.
Hear Dell yelling from here. He is screaming safe right now.
Well, you know, Dell is very loud and very vociferous.
Killer Bees and Silent Dell is not going to go over well with me. I just want to let you know. Because I value Dell's input and knowledge.
Well, they're in the review here, and Myers thinks he's safe.
Look, I did say it, by the way.
He's like feeling good and bouncing around the dugout. So
he's getting a couple of hits now. I mean, he's starting to feel good about himself. That's good for him, but go back to circling. Unless you can get him the consistent at-bats he needs.
I'm with you on that. And like I said, I'd try to get him those consistent at-bats.
So I was looking it up while we were talking about it to see C.B. Buckner's name. In terms of the worst strike zones in baseball, Angel Hernandez, Joe West, C.B. Buckner right there in the mix.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I you'll see me ruled safe. It's a run.
And he's extremely happy, and so is Dusty. That insurance run is massive right now for your Astros, now leading 3-1 minimum. As they are still going to be hitting in the bottom of the sixth, but three innings to play, two-run lead, that's big with the bullpen you got now, but that little bit of insurance is going to go a long way, hopefully, for your Astros to get out of town with a two-game sweep of the Rockies if they can complete this deal. So that is good news for your baseball team.
There's a Twitter account called Umpire Scorecards, and you'll see me tweet out stuff from them, the really egregious ones. There's a lot, and usually it's the umpires who have the longest tenure that have the absolute worst strike zones. Balls that are strikes are called balls. Balls that are balls are called strikes. Like, it's like the thing is inverted. It's amazing how bad some of these guys are on a consistent basis, and baseball just, you know, they don't care. And it's always the same guys. It's Laz Diaz, who's freaking awful. Yep. It's C.B. Buckner. It's Ted Barrett. It's Joe West. It's the same group of dudes.
Angel.
Every single Angel Hernandez. The
number
same
one
dudes.
Right now, currently on the Cold Wires, five worst umpires in baseball. You hit on all of them. But number one is indeed Angel Hernandez. Number two
Joe West.
It is C.B. Buckner.
C.B. Buckner, Joe West.
Number three
Laz Diaz.
Is Laz Diaz. Number four is Cowboy Joe West. And number five is a guy that I have to say I'm not as familiar with. You might be, but I mean, I think that's a good thing because when you start knowing umpires by name, you probably know them for the wrong reason. Culbreth.
Yep. Yeah, he's not so good either.
What's it? Fielding Culbreth.
Fielding
Culbreth, number five. I don't know Culbreth as much, but the other four. You know when you have a highlight reel on YouTube of your bad calls? You are some kind of awful as an umpire.
It's pretty impressive that these guys have kept their jobs. And, you know, Angel Hernandez, who sued Major League Baseball.
Has that finally been settled?
It's finally been settled. They basically told Angel Hernandez to go scratch.
But they still kept putting him in playoff games and World Series just to try and make up for it.
Why does he still have a job? That guy outright sucks. Not only does he suck, but he deliberately antagonizes players, and he's got a track record of having like feuds with specific managers. There's nothing impartial about that guy. He should have been fired years ago. And the only reason he wasn't fired is because he was suing Major League Baseball for discrimination. His lawsuit got tossed. Can his ass.
Pat, you act like this is some kind of crazy new thing that's been going on. I mean, for all the years working in the NBA, I can honestly tell you that the Rockets started to keep files. And this was before the Chris Paul, Scott Foster continuing issues. But teams now do that, and they keep records, and they know. And besides that, the coaches and the players know when they see the officials announced who's got beef with us. McHale had three or four. He knew. Chris Paul had his. Harden had his. They knew exact. Tony Brothers, if he was doing a Rockets game, chances are you ain't getting your calls.
Every team has that. You know, it's crazy. You know, what was it? Was it Tim Duncan and Joey Crawford?
Yeah, when he threw him out for smiling, laughing at him.
Like those two guys, every time Crawford did a...
Jake O'Donnell threw Clyde Drexler out for absolutely no reason, then got never umped in the playoffs, never umped, reffed another game again, period. He was banned the rest of the playoffs, never came back, it was over, because he purposely discriminated calls against Clyde Drexler.
It's unbelievable that these guys that they keep their jobs. By the way, before we hit the break here, quick little interesting stat here from Brian McTaggart. Jake Meyers went third to home 30.3 feet per second. 30 feet per second is considered elite speed.
Maybe that's another reason why you don't need Miles Straw. And the analytics department loves numbers like that.
He can go get it.
You got to go get to Cars for Kids, buddy.
And he can burn the bases. You might have a car in your driveway or in your garage that you may have thought about burning because it's really old and it doesn't work and you're tired of paying to fix it. It's probably not worth a whole lot. You know what? Don't do anything crazy. What you need to do is go to carsforkids.org. Carsforkids.org accepts all vehicle donations, cars, motorcycles, trucks, any condition, running or not, doesn't matter. And when you donate your beat up old vehicle to carsforkids.org, you get a full tax write-off for your donation. And when you mention ESPN Houston, you even get an extra $50 Visa gift card. Can't find the title? Doesn't matter. They do all the title work for you, and pickup is free. Your donation benefits Houston Can Academies, helping to give local Houston kids a second chance at a diploma. So go to carsforkids.org or call 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Donate your vehicle and write off the car, not the kid.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Starting Monday, August 16th, change is on the way.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
New voices, new shows, more passion and coverage of the teams you care about.
Deep to left field. You've got to be kidding me. Altuve's done it again.
Throws wide open. Touchdown.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
Join us for the next chapter. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Back on the box. We can call it that for a couple more days as we roll through a hump day Wednesday here on the program. Astros, two outs. Trevor Story just hit a double against Ryan Stanek, who has become your seventh-inning guy. Not that it's going to make you forget the days of Will Harris, Ryan Pressly, and Roberto Osuna, or even back further in the days of Billy Wagner when you went back to... Who's with Billy Wags? Lidge wasn't there in that role yet, was he? And Dotel, yeah, for a while it was Wags and Dotel. Yeah, Dotel eighth and then Wags in the ninth. But even before that,
you had
the two guys that looked at almost, they looked exactly like one another that did the seventh and the eighth with Lidge before it was Dotel. But they had some good relievers. So, you know what, look, I feel confident. I'm not sure that Ryan Stanek's that guy. I thought maybe that they might go to Gimi or one of the guys they acquired, but for whatever the reason, hey, look, we know who the eighth is, the Graveman. And I'm a big fan of Kendall Graveman. That dude, you re-signed that guy.
Back in the days when Dave Smith was the closer.
I'm not going that far back.
Don't want to go that far
No.
back. What about Joe Sambito?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to get the guys that were there in the brick red Astros uniforms. In another heyday of Astros baseball that were the setup guys in the seventh and the eighth.
Yeah, Dotel, former Met.
Dotel, former, like...
That was when they had...
Dotel played, like, for, like, 14 major league teams.
Right, but he came up with the Mets. And...
Well, that's all that's important.
Carl Everett, former Met, wound up with the Astros. Carl Everett could play, but he was nuts.
He was a little different. He once showed up for a celebrity golf tournament with a golf sweater on. You say, what's wrong with that? That's it. No shirt underneath. He just showed up with the golf vest. It's a different look. Okay. Whatever you got to do, man. Yeah. So, look, I like their bullpen. I'm just not sure Stanek's the guy. Yes, Chad Qualls and Wheeler. Thank you, fake Tony Stark. It was Qualls, Wheeler to Lidge. Thank you very much, Tony Stark, my dude.
Man, Chad Qualls pitched forever.
Yeah, he was very effective here for a couple years. So was Wheeler.
So you think about, you know, before the elimination of the loogie, per se, how many guys just, like, relievers just pitched forever and ever. I mean, Jesse Roscoe pitched like 46.
Yeah, he did. So did your other guy, John Franco.
Pitched like 43.
Yep.
And there is some guy. Well, Elvin Franco wasn't even a loogie. He was like a regular. He was a star closer for a long time. And then he still was like a regular reliever. They didn't just bring him in to pitch to lefties. He wasn't Graham Lloyd per se, but there are a lot of guys who, I mean, look, Jesse Roscoe was a big reliever for a long time, but later in his career became a lefty one out guy. As Ryan Stanek gets out of the seventh unstaged, nice job, Megadeth.
With the hair and the headband again.
He should really just come out to a Megadeth song every time. He looks like young Dave Mustaine.
You miss me with that, because I'm sure Dell's right there with you, because he is just a massive fan of heavy metal.
Can't believe you guys don't know Megadeth.
I don't, and I'm glad I don't.
Shameful.
No, it's not.
Disgraceful.
You seem more of a Judas Priest type guy.
I like Priest, but, you know, that was Priest a little older. Like, their heyday is...
Were you a big fan of Robbie?
70s and early 80s.
That's your lead singer from Priest?
No.
A Healthman or something, isn't it? Judas Priest.
Yes, that's not lead singer. Names, I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
Easy, I'm not drawing a Creighton. There's your dad joke, Del, right when you needed it.
Because Rob Halford is the...
Close enough. I said Robbie, and I said Healthman instead
of... Healthman, Rob Halford. Rob Halford in the early 90s fronted a band called Fight that was really, really good band. Went to go see them, and this was at Roseland in New York City. So really, like, legendary club.
Sounds like it.
And they're going through, and they only had, 12, 13 songs or so. But they're, real heavy. It was good. And all of a sudden, so their whole chant was just go, fight, 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 fight. Because the name of the band was Fight. Fight, 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 fight. They play Breaking the Law. And now the whole crowd's just going, Priest, 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 Priest. And everybody's going nuts because they played a Priest song. And then Halford's trying to get them to go back to saying Fight. Fans are yelling Priest. He's getting pissed. So they go back and they play some more Fight songs. And the crowd is screaming for more Priest. He gets pissed off and walks off stage. That's it. Concert over.
Are you John Clayton in the bedroom? Like closet, just complete, head banging. Mom, go fix me a pot pie guy.
I'm not sure who John Clayton is.
You don't know John Clayton, ESPN's John Clayton, that the little nerdy guy with the wire rim glasses?
I didn't put that together as that.
You haven't seen the promo that they did forever and a day where he gets doing a hit for ESPN and he's got the pull-away tie, shirt, tie, and jacket, and he's wearing a heavy metal rock t-shirt.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Mom! And he's got the long hair wig that he lets loose.
Okay, yeah, I
could see
that.
You being that kid.
I do remember that. I used to have long hair.
Mullet?
I didn't know. My hair was all one length. And it was
business
halfway
in front,
down my
party
back.
In the back kind of guy?
No, not really. It was all one length. So the whole thing was all the same length, all the way down the middle of my back, back in college.
How long?
About middle of my back.
The whole thing? The
whole thing.
I need pictures.
And I would pull it back and tie it up. And actually, 2 weeks before.
The hair, right?
2 weeks, yes. Okay. 2 weeks before I met the woman who would eventually marry me, I had chopped all my hair down to about shoulder length. It was the first time I'd cut my hair in years. And, that's when I had met my wife and we started dating. And my mom showed her pictures of me from college where I basically look like a drug dealer and I've got all this all one length hair and the face. And she looked at her and she showed those pictures to my wife and she's like, that is not Patrick. I don't believe you. If I had still looked like that, she never even would have.
Bro, you went through high school with the straight, back length hair?
When I graduated high school, my hair was probably about shoulder length. And that was a little more business in the front, party in the back. But it was 1991, so.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
But, yeah, I was a big-time heavy metal head. Oh, yeah.
You were Headbangers Ball and...
Oh, absolutely. I was... In addition to doing sports, I also was the metal music director for our station. I had put together multiple formats of hard rock, heavy metal, and stuff like that. Oh, I used to be all into that. I went to so many concerts on record labels, backstage, doing stuff. I was going to 3 concerts a week. It was freaking awesome.
Did you ever see the Nasty Habits when they backed up Motley Crue? Definitely worth the price of admission.
I have not, but I'll
I was a crew guy, and in college, my girlfriend at the time won tickets and backstage passes to see the crew, so I was already good with it. Well, my girlfriend was a runner-up, Miss Wisconsin, and she was on the cheerleading squad for the CBA basketball team that we worked for in our spare time.
Oh, like something that. Isaiah Thomas destroyed.
So, yeah, so she drew the attention of Tommy and Vince, and I had no problem with it because the Nasty Habits were over on the side, and I had no problem striking up a conversation with the fine backup singers from Motley Crue.
I'd seen Vince when he had gone solo, and the whole, like, you're invited, but your friend can't come. And
some of the behind the musics, but the Netflix version of it and the Reels documentaries.
Do you remember Rat?
Yeah.
Okay, so Stephen Piercy was the front guy for Rat. Yeah. In the early 90s, he had a band called Arcade. And they were, you know, they did a lot of the local clubs and stuff like that. But if you want to talk about post-concert craziness, dude, Steve Piercy and Arcade, there was some wild, wild stuff.
You're saying it went round and round?
It did a lot more than that. That was some wild stuff. They were good times. It was some wild stuff.
I can't believe you're a headbanger. Was it Ricky Rockman? Was that your headbanger's ball?
No, he was annoying as hell, but yeah.
But he hosted the headbanger's ball.
Ricky Rockman, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, there's some good times a little bit after being really sportsy. We got off the beaten path for a little bit, so you got a little background information on headbanging Patrick Creighton as a child. What? So you really haven't gotten out and sowed your oats at all then, because you locked up your wife and met her when you were how old?
I got married at 28.
But you knew her and dated her since the time you were...
I think we started dating, I was 22.
I thought you were going to say 12.
I'm not from Arkansas. I'm from New York.
Okay, 22, headbanging Patrick before he really got out and experienced the world.
Oh, college was...
Locked it down.
College was... I was ready at that point. Like, and the weird thing is, like, the first year we dated, we really weren't serious. But I was ready to not do crazy stuff anymore. College was all crazy stuff. There's a lot of stuff I don't even remember about college because I was probably in a drunken
stupor. When you say crazy, what does that involve?
Stuff that we can't talk about on the air.
I think we could.
We definitely cannot.
The new lineup starts Monday. We could, you know, we could finish with a bang.
We definitely cannot talk about. We can talk about this on Twitch. We cannot talk about that on the air.
Oh, I think we should. All right, we got a half hour to go in the program. If you guys want to be a part of it, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. If you text, put your name on it. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. Astros now up 4-1. Runner on second base as they continue to hit in the bottom of the seventh inning. So there's an update for you from Minute Maid Park. We'll come back with the final half hour of the program. Keep it right where you got it. It's Press Box ESPN.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, final half hour of the program. It's Joel, Pat, and Dell as we take you up till 4 o'clock. Having a good time talking about a whole lot of stuff. And boy, did I get a whole ear full in the break of the... raucously wild off Patrick Creighton unplugged. I had no idea.
Dude.
It was more than just the haircut or lack of that haircut.
Lot of stories. If I got into some of the stories from, you know, my days in the mortgage business, where the Wolf of Wall Street was one of my clients.
Really?
Jordan Belfort was a client of mine. Oh, there were some parties. There was some wild stuff. I've lived a few lives.
Evidently. Speaking of lives, Astros are alive and well. Correa crosses the plate for the fifth run. Still Cha-ching. Only one out. As that guy, Aledmys Diaz, does it again. He's on second base with a double. Correa scores. Stroh's up 5-1. No need to even burn the bullpen at this point. they are doing everything they needed to do to at least finish this homestand strong after completely crapping the bed against the Twins. By the way, Michael Brantley with another multi-hit game. His average now .333 to lead the American League. And Yuli is what? In the top five, even though he's out for the time being. But hopefully this will be catapulting this team in the right direction as we head down the stretch. That would be wonderful.
This team always gets off the deck.
You did mention that. I'm going to give you credit for that. A's are at Cleveland tonight. 6:10 start there. If you're interested, that is a matchup of Frankie Montas for the A's and Cal Quantrill for the Indians. So that's a game to keep an eye on. If you're going to be like me and you're going to scoreboard watch, I'm also going to be watching, seeing what the Rays are going to be doing against the Red Sox. And, you know, some other things along the way. So there's a little bit extra baseball. Alex Bregman talked to Mark Berman and others at a media session before the game today because he has already gotten to his limit of minor league rehab days. He'll have to spend the rest of the week here with the Astros. And probably as the team goes on the road, I would assume he stays back and works on getting healthier. He said he wants to be back. He knows he'll be back soon. He just has to be able to keep basically staying on the program, being able to go full speed a couple days in a row, do some other things. But he hopes that it's going to be very soon that he's going to be back. So that's good news. And again, Framber Valdez today alone is good news because he gave you six innings. He gave up one run, and that was in the first inning where he's always a little shaky. So those are some good signs out of your team, the Houston Astros.
Yeah, Framber walked more guys than you'd like to see him walk. He walked 4 and 6. He also only gave up 4 hits. 8 punch outs. So, you know, he had good stuff. He was getting swings and misses. I'd really like to see him get the walks down. But you got to be happy Framber came out, especially after he threw 31 pitches in the first inning, gave you a solid 6 with only one run.
Take it.
That's a good, you know, Fromber's got a little bulldog in him. You know, gets out of the jam in the first and then.
He's got one of the better swing and miss ratios on his curveball in all of baseball, so he's got the stuff to get out of it, spider tack or not. Because you know he's been lit. Now people, when he starts slipping, people start putting it right on the spider tack.
Look, when he has his full command and he's not walking 4 guys, if he's keeping the walks to 2 or less, he's a front end pitcher,
no doubt,
like legit front end 1-2 pitcher,
no doubt.
When the walks get up, he's going to be more of a 2, closer, you know, 2 shading to a 3. But even then, if Framber Valdez is your 2, he's a really good 2. He's just the walks are everything.
Who's your 1?
Lance.
Still.
Lance is still your 1.
Greinke's your 3.
Like stuff wise, yeah.
I'm talking about the playoffs.
If Framber is not walking guys, then Greinke's your 3.
Whew.
Framber's got to be the Framber we saw last year.
Also, to kind of keep him off balance, I'm going to think that if Dustin, and he's old school, he may go McCullers, Greinke, Framber.
He might. The idea is you're going to get 3 guys with totally different looks. McCullers comes with hard heat and the big curve. Greinke throws all sorts of slop all over the place. And then Valdez comes from the other side with the big breaking stuff. So that was a big issue with them sometimes. With the bullpen, you had a bunch of guys who all had like the same pitching repertoire, same arm angle. So you're not, the batters aren't really, even though you change pitchers, you're still kind of seeing the same guy. Yeah. You've got a little different now with the bullpen where you've got guys who come from different angles, throw different pitches. You're really changing it up. And that's something that they noticed. Hey, we've got too many guys who throw the same stuff, same arm angle, same side of the plate. You had to mix that up. They've done a good job with that with the deals they made at the deadline.
Off tomorrow, another off day for this Astros team after they went, 20-some games in a row without getting one. Now they're going to get another day off. Then they're going to start a weekend series in Anaheim against the Angels. That's 3 in California, followed up by 4 in Kansas City. And then next weekend, they will come back. The following weekend, they come back. They will be back home on Friday, August the 20th, to host the Mariners in a weekend set. Then more easy teams that you have to take care of. Kansas City again, then the Rangers, and then another set with the Mariners in Seattle.
You know what? This is a part here where you would think the bats are going to get healthy because the Angels can't pitch. They can't
Angels pitch can't do anything right now. I mean, look, and how many times are they going to sign someone to a big money contract that completely craps the bed? And the latest is
Anthony Rendon.
Rendon.
They can't get healthy.
Done for the year, and he was dinged up all year. And they just signed a big deal.
The Royals can't pitch.
Trout, did you see the other day where Joe Madden basically insinuated that
it's in his head.
Trout's pretty much healthy. It's more in his head than it is in his calf.
Listen, if you're a Mike Trout, aren't you tired of, you know, everybody considers you the best player in baseball, and your team can never make the postseason because you might be better off pitching underhand than throwing some of these guys out there? At what point, if you're Mike Trout, are you just fed up?
You have to be getting there, right? Because there's no incentive to come back this year. Joe Madden, I'm sure, would love to have him come back. There's no way that they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. There's no reason to have him come back this year. You just got to hope that they're healthy next year with Ohtani with one more year under a controllable, decent contract before you might have to deal with that whole mess. But, you know, you've got a decent nucleus yet again. You still need pitching. But if you get everybody healthy.
And they thought they were going to be able to pitch. You know, they got Dylan Bundy. They went out
you got Anthony Rendon. You got Mike Trout. You got Shohei Ohtani. You still got Upton, who's better than average. You've got your team seems to improve and spend a ton of money every year. You just don't get any better.
They can't pitch to save their damn lives.
Nope.
The Royals can't pitch and they can't score. So they should be getting healthy here, especially with the bats. You got some teams that you can really beat up on.
No question. The schedule is, again, going to continue to be fairly light for your Houston Astros. It's just doing what they haven't been able to do consistently all year, and that's beat up on bad teams. As enter Graveman should be playing, Patrick, as Kendall Graveman is still going to come into the ballgame. He's got a big lead. Not a safe situation, obviously, for Presley either, but we'll see if he just goes the one inning as Dusty seems to set up the schedule for the rest of the stretch run, which will be a Stanek 7th, a Graveman 8th, and a Presley 9th. With the day off tomorrow, he probably will get Presley some work in the 9th, I would assume.
This looks like it's, hey, I got to get my guy some work, because in a normal 5-1 situation, top of the 8th, there is no reason for Kendall Graveman.
Not at all. That's what I said. I fully expected that I didn't realize they had the day off tomorrow. Otherwise, I fully expected that I would see somebody else other than Graveman, because there's no need.
And I never like the idea of bringing your closer into a low leverage situation. Those guys, like, they feed off the energy, they feed off the adrenaline, the big spot, the high leverage.
High leverage, yeah.
And how many times we see a closer come in, low leverage situation, and like they just don't have it. Like, it's almost like they can't engage.
You know who was the epitome of that was Ken Giles. Non-safe situations, you can expect a 7 spot out of Ken Giles with 0 F's given. So, you know, at least the tank top had a life of its own. All right, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people that I absolutely appreciate at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O and his staff. Look, Dr. O worked at the other places. He found out what worked, what didn't, and how he didn't have to waste people's time and get them the results that they wanted to get. And so he opened up his own clinics to do it better than they do and do it for all of Houston. He's got 2 locations, 1 in Pearland, 1 in Lake Jackson, conveniently near downtown Houston. And basically, anything and everything that you're looking to do so that you get that kind of spunk and that energy back into your life, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. They have answers to your questions, solutions to your problems. They can put you on a program that works. I go there weekly. I get my blood pressure checked. I get a B12 shot. I get on the body comp analysis. If you're starting a workout program and you want to stay consistent and chart it, the body composition analysis only takes about 60 seconds. The results are right there given to you right after you get off the machine. And you can use them and keep track of them as you chart your progress towards getting to your weight and fitness goals. If you want to recover quicker, there's HGH peptide therapy. And then for men and women both, and couples go in all the time, there's hormone therapy. Hormone therapy in which you can go in weekly to get your testosterone or your hormone therapy. Or you can do it at home and they can teach you how. Or with the guys, there's cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. You only have to go in once every 6 months. You still reap all the benefits. They are fantastic people. They'll treat you right. Start it by going to apollomh.com. Set up your first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Get a free B12 shot on your first visit. You're already going to reap the benefits and feel even better with the energy that you get. But I'm telling you, they're good people doing great things. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Get no when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get no when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Starting Monday, August 16th, change is on the way. Join us for the next chapter on the independent voice for Houston sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
All right, wrapping it up on the show. One segment here to go before we get you to 4 o'clock, but we appreciate you hanging with us. Always appreciate Pat Creighton and stopping into the box, and he's here all week, so that helps. And, of course, my man Silent Dell as we get through a hump day on the show. And it's always good when the Astros can get 12 hits and 5 runs and lead the Rockies 5-1 in the bottom of the 8th inning. So that's a extremely good sign if you're a Houston fan today. Now you just got to hope for some losses, get some help, gain some ground on the A's and maybe the Rays. And have a day off tomorrow, well-deserved, as they hit the road to Anaheim. Get a little Disneyland in.
You know what? This can be the part where they get hot and they go on a little run here. And
you better hope so, because of all the crap you were talking.
Hey, this is exactly the point usually where they start to get hot. You know, we had a stretch of mediocre baseball, and now it's time to kick some ass.
Take names?
Names don't matter.
All right. Anything in particular you want to finish with? Because I'm looking at the rundown right now. We've covered most of the basics in terms of Deshaun was at practice again today. He was in pads. We have no idea how much he participated, but we know that he is not going to Green Bay, according to Nick Caserio. Although David Culley wouldn't shut the door, he did say he's probably staying at home. Rockets, Summer League last night, very successful win, 2-0 in Vegas. Jalen Green played his tail off, outplayed Cade Cunningham, at least if you look at the box score. Now, I don't want to get picky here, but I do, if you did watch any portion of that game consistently, you did realize that early on, Jalen Green was a turnover machine. And it looked like he was trying to do too much.
Well,
he also scored a majority of his points when Cade Cunningham wasn't on the floor or wasn't guarding.
Did you see what the Texans tried to do today?
No.
So the Texans tried to end training camp early for the specific purpose of preventing media from being at camp.
What?
So, yeah, this is what they tried to do.
So this is their way to combat the fact that your dumbasses keep having Deshaun Watson at practice?
Is to, okay, no more media. They told all the reporters covering the team they're ending camp early so that by switching to, you know, quote, regular season mode tomorrow, which would be 2 days before the preseason opener, they could basically just ban the media from watching practice. And the NFL came in and said, There's a rule in the NFL that says all practices must be open in their entirety to local media through August 26th. Today is August 11th.
Oof.
They tried to cut 2 weeks early of kicking the media out. Now think about this. When Dom Capers and Gary Kubiak were the head coaches here, reporters could watch practice all the time. I wasn't here when Capers was the head coach, but when Gary was the head coach, not only, you know, were we always allowed to practice, but we used to eat every day during the regular season. They would open up the players' cafeteria to the media, and you would eat, and we're talking about like primo food, because this is what they gave the team and the staff.
Yeah.
When they're getting grilled salmon, I mean, like, you could get like really high-end food. And then when Bill O'Brien came in, that ended. Access ended. Everything was down to the absolute bare minimums when Bill O'Brien came in. And now here's Nick Caserio trying to go, okay, we used to do the minimum. Let's do less. How far can we push this? Only the Texans could try, you know what, let's end our de facto training camp 2 weeks early so that we don't have to have the media here asking us questions. Again, if you spend a single dollar on this football team, you're out your damn mind. They don't give a damn about anything or anyone other than your wallet.
That's been obvious for quite a while. You are a piggy bank. I'm still floored by the fact that you said that Easterby's out there all every day.
Oh, yeah.
How is hiding? Are you thinking that the only thing that I'm led to believe then is exactly what you're saying is that the media's not reporting this, covering it, showing him, or doing any of these things because they're afraid they're going to lose their media credentials?
I was afraid I'd lose mine.
Come on.
I didn't
Mark Berman's
it.
Not losing his media credentials. I mean, the big three stations in town are not big four, if you want to count Fox 26. They're not losing their credentials.
I can't tell you what conversations were or weren't. And I know they have. There, and I'm sure they had them. But, yeah, I mean, day one, Jack Easterby was very prevalent. And we didn't talk about it. We didn't take pictures of it. I have some pictures on my phone, but I didn't publish them. And like I said, it wasn't like Jack was, you know, being an ass or being disruptive. He was talking to coaches. He was cheering on players. He wasn't doing anything that you'd say.
Earning those millions of dollars?
Oh, yeah, or definitely earning the millions of dollars. He was kind of like, you know, he was like the host of the party. But, I mean, he didn't do anything that you'd say, oh, man, look at this idiot. He wasn't doing anything like that. There is nothing negative to say about what Jack Easterby was doing day one, just the fact that he's out on the field and you would think, you know, personal spiritual advisor to the owner. That position doesn't necessarily need to be on the field.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just a glorified title just to give him something else besides all the money and the fact that he's got a seat next to Cal in the pews at church on Sunday. And then they're going to brunch.
Got a lot of ambition for a man of the cloth.
Someone said, Pat, do you think that Dick Willie said on Twitch, he said, do you think Bill O'Brien learned how to treat the media from New England, or was it his own creation to take away media meals and access?
Oh, no, I think that's...
I would bet Belichick doesn't do that in New England.
I would think a lot of what he did was learned behavior from New England. And then when he came here, it was, okay, I'm BMOC and I'm going to do things my way. I mean, from day one, it was, I'm going to wrestle every ounce of power away from Rick Smith that I can. From day one, every single year at the end of the season, can't work with Rick Smith. We need to have changes. I might have to walk. Every freaking year, the same BS. And Rick would take the high road, and Bill's people would leak out all the nonsense until ultimately, you know, Rick decided to step aside when his wife, Tiffany, was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, I mean, rest in peace to her.
But
that's got to be very painful. But the idea that's what it was. When Rick finally stepped aside, Bill was like, I got all my power now, and I'm going to use it.
Well, he did. And he created such a line in the sand that most of the people in the front office hated him. I'm talking about from ticket sales to marketing to all the different departments. They couldn't stand him. He enjoyed embracing the hate.
And when he and Brian Gain were running things, they basically...
Well, there's stories there.
They Brian fired Gain literally every minority person in the building.
Yep.
All the Rick hires, fired every minority in the building, replaced them with a bunch of white guys, and literally were like, God, I hope nobody notices this. You know what? Let's hire one black guy so that we can say, well, we didn't only hire white guys, but we hired one minority candidate.
Well, then Gain went along with it, and then Gain got Bill O'Brien the same way.
Got knifed in the back.
Yeah, Aaron Wilson reporting before we get out of here. Texas cornerback Bradley Roby placed on reserve COVID-19 list. So there's that. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about a whole lot more than hopefully Bradley Roby. Astros look like they're on the way to a victory. Dell is hopefully going to feel better. Everybody's going to have a good evening. National programming will be coming up next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Press Box. Join us, won't you? ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.